seated. That picture in the refrain of fleeing to the Lord, of running to Him, of understanding that in Him our need for salvation and for pardon and forgiveness of sins is met. Our need for a righteousness acceptable to God is met in Christ. And so we flee to Him. We run to Him. We don't dilly-dally, take our time, casually think, well, I'll live a few years of life, and when it gets really serious or when I get near death, then I'll walk up to Him and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I'm ready to die now. No, you flee to Him right now and find in Him everything that you need for your eternal life. Great, great hymn. Very thoughtful and careful composed hymn. Turn to Matthew chapter 14 now, please. Verses 13 through 21, such a familiar passage that we look at this morning. Perhaps if you were asked, you know, what miracle of Jesus comes to your mind? What's a miracle that Jesus performed? Maybe this is one of the ones that pops up, the feeding of the 5,000. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now on the preaching and hearing of His word. We do come to You, O God. Before we enter this time of the proclamation and preaching of this, Your inspired word, we pray that You would equip us to be good hearers. We pray that it would be taught in a way faithful to Your word, acknowledging that Your word is true and that we need it, O Lord. We come to this as needy people. Feed us with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard this, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot from the towns. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And He said, "Bring them here to Me." Then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then He broke the loaves and He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And that's the word of the Lord. Adam and Eve, in the garden before their sin, had needs. Did you know that? They had needs. Adam and Eve were created with bodies that needed to eat and drink. They were created to labor in that garden for their food, which the garden just wonderfully gave forth. It just their labors were rewarded. There was no sin, no misery in the world yet, but they still had a need. Though they never wanted for anything. You know, we have needs, but we don't always sense that we have a want of something or a lack of something. Adam and Eve needed food, but they didn't want for it. They didn't lack it. It was provided and given in the creation that God had made as a habitat for them to live in. And God provided for them. But life then was different. After the fall, needs were not easily met. Labor was no guarantee of provision. Thorns began to infest the ground, and by the sweat of his brow, Adam had to labor on the earth to get it to give forth enough to feed and provide for his family. Their bodies were dying. and they began to know what it was like to lack what they needed. Maybe you grew up knowing and experiencing what it's like to lack what one needed. Not to have to work hard for it and get it and know that there's a paycheck, but to want and really lack. Maybe you grew up to where you didn't get 3 meals a day. Maybe you got 2. Maybe you got 1. There are certainly families in our community. We know this from what the schools register of kids who do not have their regular meals. And we know that there are poor, genuine poor, that is poor despite how much they may labor, they do not have enough, sufficient. So we know there are people who want for much. In this world, we know our needs are great. But did you know Jesus had needs? Jesus himself had needs. The disciples had needs. The crowds that gathered around had needs. This particular miracle, this sign of the Lord Jesus Christ, is one of the miracles that is covered in all 4 Gospels, not just Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but even John presents this to the world in their Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke refer to what happened beforehand. There were a couple things that were happening. The disciples had just come back from a missionary tour. They'd been sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. They came back. But also, we are told by Matthew that Jesus heard about John's execution. And that introduces us in verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, that looks back to the execution of John the Baptist. We're going to see from this well-attested miracle that we have needs that must be met by the Father. In fact, really, every need we have is met by the Father. We'll see that as we go through this time. Jesus had needs, the disciples had needs, and the people had needs. And so we'll look first at what Jesus needed. Again, 2 things are brought together when we look at a comparison of all the Gospels and what is happening here. Matthew gives attention to Jesus learning about John the Baptist's death. Mark and Luke give attention to the fact that the disciples had been out in ministry and they had returned. We don't often think of Jesus as needing anything. It's one of the ways we wrongly try to equip our minds to have a view of Jesus as high and lifted up. We remove that humanity from him as if he didn't need anything, as if he didn't get hungry or thirsty or need a place to sleep, when oftentimes, as he himself said, he would just lay down wherever he was. Sometimes we feel a strange kind of comfort, which is really no comfort at all, that Jesus was some robot mechanically living a righteous life. That Jesus was just acting out of this, out of his Godhead as being the eternal Son of God and just doing what just always happened with Jesus. He doesn't need anything. He just robotically goes through and he blesses and he heals and everything else. And he just kind of plugs along that way. But he shared our frailty. He shared our humanity. He shared our limitations. Though without sin, he still shared in us a physical body that had weaknesses, that needed provision, that needed care. And it's seeing him in the midst of this fragile condition and these needs that set for us not merely an example, but one that inspires us to look to where Jesus himself looked when he had needs. And to whom did he look? He looked to the Father. So we have, as we come into this text, Jesus Christ, hearing about John the Baptist's execution, departing by boat to a desolate place by himself. Jesus often would do this, we find in the Gospels. Mark tells us that when it was early in the morning, he would rise up and he would go, while it was still dark, to a desolate place, and there he would pray. What does that tell you about Jesus? Was Jesus just doing that, thinking, well, my disciples are probably looking, so I want to teach them what devotions look like, you know, morning devotions, and so I'm going to go and pretend I'm having a devotion so they can learn. No, Jesus went to his Father in heaven, and he did it regularly. Jesus needed his Father. In the fullness of his humanity, he needed that connection, and he always found it. And just, well, look at verse 23. I know this is beyond what we read in our text, but the very next passage, we see Jesus dismissing the crowds and going up to a mountain by himself to what? To pray. When Jesus was in the throes of his suffering and waiting for his own crucifixion, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter and John along with him, and then he went a little further off, and what did he do? He prayed. He needed at that hour that connection, that personal relationship with his heavenly Father. Though it was never really broken because he's the eternal Son of God, but he was about to give up his life to death. He was about to enter a time when the Father would look away from him as he bore the sins of all his people. And he needed so badly to be with his Father. That's a Jesus you want to know. You don't want to know a robot, because that's not the real Jesus. You don't want the kind of Jesus that is just pretending like he knows what you're going through as a people who have needs. You want a Jesus, and this is the Jesus of the Gospels, who does know your needs. He does know you need to be close to the Father. In fact, that is why he died, so that you may draw near to the Father. So that you can find in the Father everything that you need. You can have that comfort and that security, that fatherly affection with a God who is holy and just, but merciful and loving. Now, that's a Jesus that's accessible, don't you think? That's someone you can approach. He's empathetic. He understands because he himself had needs. And we, too, need to connect with our Heavenly Father. We do, but we don't always think we do. We need to connect with him because we have needs. Life is wearisome. Even if you're someone who is marked by slothfulness, isn't that wearisome? Now, you need to go to the Father for more than just a little something in your slothfulness. You need to go to the Father because you need encouragement to get up and labor. But for those of you who work and you work hard, you can forget that your needs are met through him. It's where we're Americans. We have this sense of pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps, of working hard to achieve what we get. And sometimes, because being American doesn't make you a Christian, we know that, you should know that, we think that we get what we have because we work hard. If you need something, you work for it. Isn't that the thing? If you need something, you work for it. We even teach our children, if you need something, you've got to work for it. And that's true to an extent. Things aren't just handed to you. If you want to buy that bicycle, you're going to have to work for it. You have to do chores. If you want to go to college, you might have to work for it. You might have to know that you're going to have to pay that for that privilege to get that education. But what we receive in Scripture is that while, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they had needs, they labored. That's part of our creation mandate. It's what we're created to do. It's kind of how we're like God, too. We work. But Adam and Eve, even in their labor in the garden, every moment of their labor stood in need of the Father. When you tell your child, you got to work for that, but you got to go to the Father for it, the Heavenly Father. Because your labor doesn't guarantee you'll get that bike. You know that? Your labor and your work at the office does not guarantee that you'll provide for your family. Only the Father is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We'll see that Jesus blesses the food, the bread and the fish. He blessed it. He went to his Heavenly Father in receiving what has been given. Jesus didn't say, well, didn't need the Father for that. Someone had some loaves and fishes. Don't you pray in receiving your food? You don't sit down and pray to yourself and say, I'm so glad that I'm a hard worker. I'm so thankful for me that I got a job when so many other people aren't working. That I was willing to do what is necessary for my family. I'm so thankful to me. You say, Father, thank you for these gifts that you have provided. Even as he's provided, even through your labors, he has provided. Perhaps you're a mom with kids. They need you, and you give yourself to them. You sacrifice your time for them. You care for them, but before you know it, you're run down. You feel like there's so much pressure, that's hard to get through a day. You fear that doing anything to restore, you fear that getting away and being with the Father. You know, Jesus did this. Jesus went away to be with the Father. But you fear, if I take time for me, I must seem like an awful mom. Or a young woman, you're working and you're going through school perhaps, and you have all this going on, and you think, well, if I take time to connect with my Heavenly Father, that will make me look weak. That'll make me look needy. That will make me look like I can't cut it. Ever think that way? I say, I don't want people to think I can't cut it. Sometimes we hold back asking for prayer because we don't want people to think, well, I can't handle my trials. And if I ask people for prayer, they'll think, well, they can't handle it because they asked for prayer. If they could handle it, they wouldn't ask for prayer. It's a strange kind of sick logic, but it's not a biblical logic. It's not biblical reasoning. We need one another's prayers. We need the Heavenly Father. Sometimes a mom, sometimes a woman, sometimes a man, sometimes a young adult needs to get away and connect, not just sometimes, a lot of times. We need to connect with the Father. We need some quiet time to go to the one who meets our needs and say, I can't do this because you can't. And it's not wrong to admit it. In fact, it's honest and it's true humility to say, Father, I need my daily bread. Wait, isn't that part of a prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We still say it even when we feel prosperous. Young adults tend to think they're invincible. Eat enough food, get enough sleep, or maybe little sleep. You don't need as much, and you're good. Right? You can work on 2-3 hours a night. You can cram for the test, and you can get it all done. You feel this. There's no needs. You don't have any needs. You're young. You're strong. You're healthy. Every hour of the day, you need the Heavenly Father. You may be the most healthy, smart, prosperous, having the world ahead of you at your feet, and every moment of it, you need the Father. And if you don't think you do, then somehow you must think you're greater than Jesus Christ, because he needed the Father. He needed to go to him. And it's not wise to think you're greater than Jesus Christ, in case you may misunderstand that. It's not wise to do that. Jesus needed his father. John had died. And we know from the Gospels that Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb, that Jesus wept over Jerusalem, that Jesus could be troubled in spirit, and he'd go to his father. He'd be pressed by the crowds, surrounded by them, ministering all day long, but he needed to go to his father. Well, what did the disciples need? Now, again, when you look at the Gospels together, one would think they're contradictory, but you shouldn't think that way, because life is different than just a single motivation, a single reason for things happening, that it's not one thing that happens your life at a time, is it? When God orders your life by his providence, does he order things one time? Now you deal with that, then there's another thing, and then you deal with that. Aren't there often many things that are happening all at once? Right? It's not just Junior is sick. It's Junior is sick, and I may lose my job. It's Junior is sick, and I'm not feeling too well myself. And little Bobby, he also needs brace. It's always, right? It's always more than one thing, isn't it? It'd be easy if God just dealt out, okay, this is your trial for this month. And so, then you get a hold of that. You take care of Junior. And then the next thing. And what's the same way in the life of Jesus Christ? The disciples have gathered back. They've been out. They need time away too, as we'll see. Matthew indicates that Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Mark and Luke also indicate that the disciples went with him. At some point, the disciples were with Jesus, set apart. Matthew is focused on something else. The other gospel writers are focused on something else. But it all comes down to this event, and we know the disciples were there, and they needed time for rest and renewal. The disciples bore the press of the crowds as well. You remember when the children were pressing upon Jesus, they were coming to Jesus Christ, and what the disciples say? Lord, send them away. We don't need this. Or when Jesus was with the Samaritan woman, Jesus, what are you doing? We don't need this. Life is hard enough. Let's not get involved in that. Let's not let all these children press. The disciples really did need time with their Heavenly Father. They needed time for rest and renewal coming back from their missionary activity, where they saw some people, some villages, just ignore them, and they had to brush the dirt off their feet and move on, which was hard for the disciples. They wanted others to know the gospel of the kingdom as well. These things were hard, and they came back, and Jesus wanted them to go along with him to a desolate place, because Jesus needed the Father, the disciples needed the Father. But unlike Jesus, they had temptations to pride. They had temptation to unrighteous anger. And they needed to settle down. Paul told the church in Ephesus that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Sometimes we ignore so much of that passage and we say something like this: I am created for good works. And there you go. And leave out the fact that we were created in Christ Jesus for works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That within all of our labors and all of our ministries and all of our service and everything we do, there's the fact that the Father has planned these things and the Father has an interest in them. So we are unwise, even foolish, to not go and spend time with the Father. If we're going to do anything, if we're going to serve in the ministry of the church, we just had earlier the announcement that our brothers are looking for some people to come and help. Learn the soundboard, learn to do the live stream and handle those things. Those are important things. Because our brothers can be wary. But But it's a work that God prepared beforehand that they should walk in them. These are the important things for the ministry of the church, and they are not done without the Father. So they needed a time for rest and renewal. They also needed to learn that their service was always in His power. You see them coming, the disciples have gathered, and it's nightfall, the crowds are there, and what did the disciples say to the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, "This is a desolate place. There's no Uber Eats, no DoorDash. There's none of those wonderful things that will just deliver food right to the people out there in that desolate place." And they say, "Jesus, send them into the villages to buy food for themselves." That was the disciples' solution to the situation. So the disciples were, give the disciples some credit. They assessed the situation. They knew that food was a distance away. And they cared enough about the people to say that they should be allowed to go and fend for themselves, get food where they might find it, because they're really hungry. So the disciples don't come across as crass or uncaring at all. And what did Jesus tell them to do? What was Jesus' response when they said, "Jesus, you need to send them away because we've counted the bread, and we have 5 loaves, and there happen to be 2 fish here, and we know, and in other Gospels we hear 200 in our eye, and we know that's insufficient. We've done the math, we've counted the people, there's a big crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children, and we know that this just does not happen. They won't eat unless you send them out." And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." That's a lesson there. You've only accounted, disciples, for what you can do on your own. You looked at the situation and you evaluated it based upon what you think you can do in your own power and strength. So if they had maybe 600 denarii, if they had 1,000 loaves of bread and maybe 1,000 fish, the disciples may have calculated different because their calculations was only on what they could do by their own strength. And then Jesus telling them, "You feed the people," he says, "because you can't rely on doing this work on yourselves. You give them something to eat." And Jesus would indicate by what he did in calling the bread and the fish to be brought to him and blessing it. And that wonderful miracle was a sign that they needed Jesus Christ. And of course, it has a genuine benefit to the people in actually feeding them, but it was a miraculous sign. And that means it was a testimony to who Jesus himself is as the Son of God. It was a sign to the disciples. They needed to learn this. It was a sign to the people that Christ could provide. But the disciples couldn't do it without him. And you can't do your work without him either. Jesus made the whole difference in the situation. Perhaps their time away from Jesus and their time of ministry, when they were doing signs and wonders and casting out demons and healing the sick, they were. The disciples were sent out and given that responsibility and authority. Maybe they began to think, you know, we could do this kind of thing ourselves. Jesus took the bread and fish and sought the blessing of the Father. And he gave it to the disciples and they dispersed it and it was enough. And there was extra left over. An abundance. But the need was only met as the disciples went to Jesus. Again, we sometimes, if we can't do it, we say it can't be done. If I can't do it, it can't be done. If you can't do it, it can't be done. But the problem is, sometimes we think, if we can do it, I don't need Jesus. If I can do it, if we had all that money, if we had plenty of bread and fish, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't have to take this to him. Jesus said, John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." The disciples had a need, and that was to learn that lesson. Finally, what the people needed, about 5,000 men plus women and children, followed after Jesus. Their needs are abundantly clear. They needed Jesus and they needed food. Well, they needed Jesus. That's why they followed. There was no guarantee when they saw Jesus crossing the sea to the desolate place. They went and followed to get with him. There was no promise that they would receive bread then. They had seen signs and wonders and they wanted to get there for the ministry of Jesus Christ. There was no expectation yet that it would get them a free meal. John's gospel tells us that they grabbed that expectation and they clung to it. And then all they wanted from Jesus was free bread. They needed to hear Jesus preach about the kingdom of heaven. They needed their families and themselves to be healed. They needed Christ's compassion. So they followed him. You know, we need that today. Really, we need it every day. How often do you need to be told you are loved by someone you love? Once, the wedding, right? It's going to be a wedding on Saturday. And once, I love you. I'll never say it again. I love you. You kind of go with that. You feed off that for the next 56 years of our marriage, and you ought to be fine. No, we need to hear it all the time. The people needed the compassion of Christ. They needed his mercy. And we need it, and God provides it. If you're here today, it's because you are needy. You need the means of grace. What are the means of grace? Word, sacrament, prayer. You need the Lord's Supper, which is the sign and seal of Christ's atoning work on the cross, a sign and seal of the covenant of God with us, that promise. It's kind of an I love you thing from the Lord to us when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to hear it from the Word of God. We need this passage this morning that shows us Jesus' compassion for the people. We need to have rehearsed as we come into his worship an assurance of our pardon and forgiveness. We need to hear often about the blood of Christ washing away our sins. We need to be reminded that it is well with our souls. And we need to be told constantly how it is that it is well with our souls. We need constantly the gospel in our lives. When we stop thinking we need it, it's because we've forgotten it, which means we've given our lives over to something other than him. They needed Christ's compassion, and they did need their daily bread. We ask the Lord, again, the Lord's blessing upon our food. We need to eat. It's a common grace blessing. Yet, even though it is common grace, that means to say that other people who do not believe in Jesus Christ still eat, right? Food doesn't just come to Christians. It's just the Christians know from whom it comes. We know it comes as a gift from the Father. So we pray. We acknowledge it. Matthew highlights this attention to the giving of the bread by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does call our attention to what our brother read from Exodus 16. Now consider Israel at that point. God had delivered them by a strong hand and a mighty arm. Egypt, Pharaoh did everything he could to stop the Israelites from going. He blocked it at every turn, and God at every turn brought another curse and another curse and another curse until finally Pharaoh had had enough. He said, get going. And then that wasn't even enough. He grabbed his chariots and his army and he pursued them to the Red Sea. And God said, you keep coming. And he parted the sea for his people and then they went out. Then they're in the wilderness after God had done all that. And they were hungry, and what did they do? They complained. Is it just me, or do you agree that a God who would deliver his people with such signs and wonders would certainly care for his people when he delivered them. Does that make sense? I mean, is a God who would do all of that to bring his people out of slavery and bondage going to let them starve in the wilderness? But that's exactly what they thought. They knew they had needs, but somehow they considered that God wasn't interested in providing it, their bread and drink. We will never know what would have happened if they simply would have prayed. I think we know. I think God would have provided, don't you? But instead they chose to complain. And God gave them water from a rock and manna from heaven. Will he not provide for us also? As Paul says, if God gave his own son, is there anything he won't do for us? Now, you know, that's not a name it and claim it thing. I want a new car, and if God, you know, has saved me, he'll give me a new car. That's not what we're talking about. But he meets our needs. Jesus gave them bread that day. He gave them bread and fish. And he met their needs. There are people like the Israelites who know their needs but complain instead of ask. Let's not be that kind of person. Others like the crowds, they had their needs, they just didn't ask. Perhaps because they thought it was too small a thing to ask for bread when they were there for healing. Do you ever think your needs are too small? It's just this. I just need to be able to provide for my family when I'm sick. It's not a big deal. I don't want to bother God with that. And then there are some people who don't think they have needs at all. But we are a needy people. We don't always know exactly what we need, but we know we are needy, and that's why we go to our Heavenly Father regularly, not just on the Lord's Day, though this is a special gathering of God's people for the worship of the Lord, and we seek Him together. We need Him daily. We need to set apart a time to go to Him and connect. And we don't always think about having a Savior that knows our needs, but we need to go to Him. We have great needs. They can only be met by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But it takes wisdom to know your needs. Do you know that? It takes wisdom to know your needs. The easy thing to do, the foolish thing to do, the easy thing to do is just press on. As long as you're okay, you have no needs. And that's absurd. Of course we have needs. But it takes wisdom to know what they are. And it takes knowledge to understand who meets those needs. Needs the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and so go to the Father. Go to Him. Jesus died so you could. Trust in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ died and was raised from the dead so that He might gift you with that Holy Spirit. Why would we be stubborn and say, I have no needs? Why would you stay away from the worship of God? Why would you avoid going to Him daily? Why would you think it would be embarrassing for you as a young adult, a mom or a dad, a man or a woman, to say, it'd be so embarrassing to act like I have needs? Because in America, if you don't have it all under control, you've got a problem. Let's pray and ask that the Lord would remind us of our needs and remind us who He is as the one who meets them, our Father in heaven. We look to our Lord Jesus Christ and we see how He came to you, and we come to You. as a needy people for our daily bread, for just that connection with our Lord and Father. But also we come to you, Father, because we're sinners. We have the need of your Son, and whom you have given to us gladly. We have the need of his blood sprinkled on the altar, making atonement for our sins. We need to be reminded, Father, how much you love us as we look to your Son as the very emblem and assurance of your love for us. We need so much. We need patience in our parenting, patience at work, patience in school. We need help to figure courses out in classes that are difficult for us. We need help in dealing with difficult neighbors. We need help in not being so difficult to our neighbors. So, Father, here we are in your presence, not a desolate place, but certainly a place where we are together with you. Would you meet our needs and even teach us more of what they are? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.